Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
No politics here. That's right. Hello, Canada. Welcome. Welcome to 2021. We're officially bringing you in here. The RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show, is on the air. Rod here. Darren Moose DuPont there. Happy New Year, Moose.
Happy New Year.
We're off to a great start, aren't
we? Amazing.
As our viewers know, I think by now, we are live now on Game Plus Television in all 10 provinces and 31 states. But hour one of the program today was on Facebook Live. So we're coming in with a little gas here into what really is hour two of the program. We had Mike Zygomanis with us from Fan 590 Toronto. He's the morning co-host there. 147 games in the NHL. And I'll just say this. I asked him if he ever gets to the outdoor ice. He's like, the what? The ice that's outside, Mike. No, I'm not skating outdoor ice. What a dumb question of me. So stay tuned. That's foreshadowing what's coming up. This hour, Ken Danico, NHL great, Mr. Devil, joining us from the NHL Network to talk about NHL training camps opening up and a couple big games tonight. But let's roll with the quick six show topics, please. Director Jordan, please and thank you. Number one, NFL Week 17 notes. There were a ton coming out of Sunday. My Cowboys lost, but I didn't even watch the game. My buddies that are all Cowboys fans, we have a text chain going back and forth. It was funny watching theirs while I was out doing something else. They were stunned that the Cowboys blew it on a stupid coaching decision late in the game. Stunned.
I know.
Your Titans won.
They did. First division title in a dozen years. Feels pretty good.
On a kicker that went doink off the upright and in. A rookie. Sleeman?
Yeah, one of those. He went off the bar and in. It was really good. 37-yard field goal. And kicking has been an issue for the Titans. But, hey, they got it done. And Derrick Henry went over 2,000 yards. He's joined that elite club. So, very exciting Sunday.
This is good. They're revved up. I told you this.
Oh, yeah.
Can you put this up on the screen? Viewer Jim Waldron says, come on, Rod. I'm here to talk about the CFL. I made my comments on Twitter. Good for you, Jim. It's the Rod Peterson Show, not the Jim Waldron Show. So wait your turn. Or there's the door. What's wrong with these people?
Happy New Year.
No kidding. Jim, come on. Let's get with it. We're trying to be nicer here in the new year. You need to come along. And then Chase Claypool tied a record for touchdowns by a Canadian. 9.
Yep.
Right? The Eagles threw a game. And we got breaking news today. Another coach fired. Tony Lynn, the head coach of the LA Chargers, just gassed within the last 15 minutes. The Jaguars firing Doug Marrone this morning and the Jets getting rid of Adam Gase last night. I don't know who's next, but there could be more.
Yeah.
So to point to, this is what everybody wants to talk about. I got it written down as Boomer dumps on the CFL. I was watching the Cardinals game because I wanted to see how Chris Streveler would do with the Arizona Cardinals. And yeah, Kyler Murray didn't last. He started, lasted what, a quarter? Streveler came in, led a touchdown drive on his first series for Arizona, and then the wheels fell off, and he threw a pick six, and it was over. And Boomer Esiason, I should have had this called up here. I'm going to have to paraphrase again. Boomer Esiason, NFL great quarterback, is doing the color. And he's like, what a horrific mistake. This isn't the Grey Cup. This isn't the CFL. You can't throw it down the middle of the field between three defenders and expect it not to be picked off. Well, people just went nuts, particularly CFL lovers like Travis Lule, Randy Chevrier, Derek Dennis. A lot of people went after Boomer. It's been a 24-hour hate monologue by Boomer, by the way. He's tweeting again this morning, anti-CFL stuff. I'm starting to think this wasn't a one-off by Boomer.
Right.
So, and by the way, let's just separate the issues here. He was saying Streveler was bad. Nobody's arguing that. But he was bashing the CFL. That's what Lule was saying. You can't make a throw like that in the CFL either, Boomer. And by the way, the only reason you're on the air today is because the starter's out too. Tony Romo. So I think Boomer can handle it. He has a history of controversial comments. That's what he's made a career out of in broadcast. Now, somebody came at me and said, Tony Dungy said the exact same thing. So I tweeted back. I said, did Dungy crap on the CFL? I get up this morning and Tony Dungy's written me back and said, no, I said the NFL's different than the CFL. So he wanted to clarify. Hey, don't Tony Dungy gets it? Why can't all these people?
I know.
It's not about Streveler. But the NFL people think Streveler's like the best we got. The best quarterback we got, we sent him down to the NFL to see how he does. And then on this huge stage, he fizzles and gets pulled from the game. But as I texted a CFL scout, I said, what's your assessment? Maybe I'm completely out to lunch. What do you think about Streveler's play here? And he goes, first game, not easy. And there were massive expectations put on Chris Streveler. He had to win to get him into the playoffs, and he couldn't get it done. So this has led to the poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Do we expect to see Chris Streveler back in the CFL? And last hour, the last update we had, it was 74% said yes, they expect to see Streveler back. I think the best question is when. It's down to 70% now say yes, they expect to see Streveler back. The question is when. Are the Cardinals going to stick with him? Do they see potential and upside? Or is he at his potential? He's never going to be the passer that the NFL needs. That's up to the Arizona Cardinals. But I do think at some point he will be back. So moving on, point three, the NHL has opened training camps. It has snuck up on me. I think it snuck up on a lot of us. But the funny thing that Zig Amanis told us last hour is that Joe Thornton's playing on the top line with Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner. Look, I'm out. I'm not even a Leaf fan. Did you know that? Like, what do you think about this?
I think it's great to talk about these things. I think it's exciting. I'm a Leaf fan, right? And when, no matter what team you're on, you kind of want to know these things. I think when you get a name like Joe Thornton, you think about the great Joe Thornton, the good memories, right? Olympic Games memories. You think about him in the playoffs. Think about him, you know, being the great setup man. And we know how well Auston Matthews can shoot the puck. So you want to think, oh, put Joe on that wing that he can mentor the two young guys. He'll be able to set him up. It's going to be a great compliment for them. So you kind of like that they're experimenting, but hey, wait till they drop the puck for real and show me the practice of the week of their first game, and I'll take the line combos a little bit more seriously.
I'm going to say this again. We're getting through the Quick Six show topics here in the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Your home for the NFL. We'll come back around and answer all your questions later on at around the 40-minute mark of the program. Ken Danico coming up next. Can you put the comment up from Sean McCormick? He's in the Game Plus TV control room right now. He's switching the show there, producing the show, whatever you techies call it. Sean says, not only was Streveler put in a tough spot on short notice, but he was up against the number one defensive line in football. Oh, they were mauling Aaron Donald. I almost said raping. You can't say that anymore. They were mauling him, trying to handle Aaron Donald, right? To keep him off Chris Streveler, because they're trying to keep him in the pocket. And they weren't having it. Anyways, to point four, World Junior Hockey Championship semifinals go tonight. Forgive me for saying this is Canada's first test of the tournament. I don't think you'd argue with that.
No.
I mean, on New Year's Eve when they played Finland, I haven't seen you guys forever. We haven't even talked about the Finland game, let alone the Czech game.
I know.
And now they're playing Russia in a semifinal. Levi, the goaltender. What's his first name? I said Connor last time. Devin Levi. Never heard of the guy till now. Now he's playing every minute. If I was Andre Tourney, I would have put the backups in some of these other games.
But you usually see
second or third period.
You always see that game two. You mix it up, and then you make your decision moving forward. So it's rare, and I'd have to go back and look to see the last time a Canadian goaltender went wire to wire. Played every minute.
He'll be fine, but they're playing Russia tonight in a semifinal. It's funny how things all shake down. You know, TSN's Craig Button was on this show. He predicted a Canada-Russia final, and now they're meeting in a semifinal. You know what that tells me? Tonight's the final.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So it is 5 p.m. Central, and then 8 p.m. Central is the other semifinal, USA versus Finland. The winners will meet on Tuesday night for world supremacy in the sport of hockey. Point five, Raptors are 1-4. I'll say it again for those who missed it last hour. In Western Canada, nobody cares. I'm just saying it the way it is, okay? And I almost wonder, look, the Raptors won a damn championship 2 years ago, and it's almost like nobody cares in Toronto because it's not the Leafs. Like, I get they have their fan base in the Eastern Canada, but out here, wake us up when you're threatening for a pennant and going deep in the playoffs. But right now, 1-4, there are diehard Raptors fans out here. There are huge basketball people out there. The alarm bells are ringing, but not for us here in the bunker.
Right.
Point six, 2021 expectations / outdoor hockey. I'll say this again for those of you that just turned your sets on. Mike Zigamanis from Fan 590 Toronto. I don't think it was a stupid question when I said to him last hour, have you ever strapped him on and hit an outdoor rink? And he's like, you mean what? What? Outdoor rinks, Mike. Have you skated on one? And he's like, no. Not unless it's Leafs alumni. No. Okay. I guess I'm the loser then. Show the photos, Clark, please. This was from the weekend. This was with my nephew, Brett. And again, he's got the Dallas Stars jersey on because his grandpa worked for the Stars for 26 years. I've moved on from the Stars. See, I'm wearing my Oilers orange, my favorite Oilers jersey with my favorite player's number on the side, Wayne. That was Sunday. And then the day before, that was with a bunch of former Rough Riders, Mike Abumesherick, Chris Best, their kids. Switched over to my other team, the Golden Knights lid, and I mentioned this last hour, that we were in this one outdoor game and there were some junior players playing, and I happened to let in a soft goal, and I just got that familiar, it was sort of like pity, like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, flashbacks! To playing actual competitive hockey where it was like that, what's wrong with you? Or that look in their eyes of disgust, you know, when you let in a bad goal. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm going down to skate with the little kids. The Oompa Loompas, as I said. This is too much pressure for me. I'm just out here to have fun and get a little exercise. Right?
Yeah.
So I had a blast. So when the Cowboys were playing on Sunday and blowing it, I was out on the outdoor rink with my brother and his kid and a bunch of little kids. And I don't know. Normally I'd be in Florida right now having a great time. Can't do that because I'm not a politician. Oops. Did I say that? So I'm following the rules, staying at home, making the most of it, and having the time of my life. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah. The outdoor ice, though, it looked like a lot of fun. It looked like a lot of
fun. You'd be all over that.
Oh yeah, and I've been out a little bit, but got to get me into one of those games. It'd be so much fun to get out there and play for sure. But that's what's fun about it. And we won't mention the other little slip you dropped in there.
The politicians.
Yeah, that was good too.
I don't know. I can't even. We vow to stay away from politics. So let's get to what the people want to talk about. Oh, but I do have written down here 2021 expectations. Just so you know, I don't have any.
Yeah, it was funny. I was on Nick Lewis's podcast to wrap up the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Devon Claybrooks was on. It was great. And he's a funny guy. I didn't realize how funny he was.
Very funny.
Very, very funny. And we went 2.5 hours talking. It was incredibly long. And trying to think of 2021. Looking forward to hopefully the CFL playing, but one thing I've learned is keep the expectations to a minimum.
Yeah, well, and for instance, so to the text line we go for Prairie Mobile. You can reach us at 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. John in Edmonton says, Rod, what do you think of the CFL having a hurdle in Alberta because of their time frame for the general public to get the COVID-19 vaccine, which won't be available till the fall? I don't have an opinion on that. Like I said, I don't have any expectations. I think the CFL should be finding a way to play without fans in the stands. If they're not, they're sunk. What did Dustin Nielsen say on this show from TSN Edmonton? If the CFL can't find a way to play in 2021, they should be embarrassed. Or I think he said we should be embarrassed. Whatever. Here's my advice to everybody. just go with it. I'm just going with it. Live one day at a time. Because it's not going to really affect my life right now or yours, John, in Edmonton. I don't think how Alberta rolls out their vaccines as opposed to whether the CFL plays or not. I see you have a point on that.
Just, I think you have to come up with a way to play with no fans. Start the season on time with no fans. And what a welcome bonus or welcome surprise when you get to Labor Day and all of a sudden you can allow fans in the stands.
Right.
Now you have two kind of season openers. More reasons to be excited.
If the CFL is truly just waiting for a vaccine, that's their hope and their prayer to play in 2021 and there are no other options, no other ways to make money without fans in the stands, I would be truly disappointed. But just going with it. Viewer Jim Waldron says, are you serious? The CFL can't figure that out? Come on, if the NFL can get it done. Jim, you seem like a new viewer to me. That's a discussion from 4, 5, 6 months ago. No? Right? That they're apples and oranges. Ray in Toronto watching, and he texts in from the 6. Hey, Rod, what Boomer said about Strebler and the CFL tells you a lot about Boomer. He had to know there was a chance Strebler might get into the game. Perhaps a little homework would have prevented him from sounding like an arse. Very unprofessional. He prepared for this game like he did for some of his starts, from what I remember. I never thought I would say bring back Romo. Nice comment from Ray in Toronto. No, that's right. This is not an indictment of the CFL in any way. It's an indictment of Boomer Esiason. But the interesting thing is he has not backed down and said, I'm sorry for disrespecting the CFL. I misspoke. It would be nice if he'd said that. He's not.
He's not.
It sounds like he's doubled down today on his New York radio station show and on Twitter, too.
Which tells me he hasn't been slapped on the wrist by his bosses. And they
Why do they care?
They seem to be okay with it. And that's, if it tells me more about Boomer, not that he didn't do his homework, that's how he feels.
It's not like he was unprepared. The sense you got was that Boomer Esiason was saying, this is the best the CFL has to offer. This is the best? He's awful. And it's like, no, he's not. I can't explain why.
Because
there are better quarterbacks in the CFL.
Quarterbacks rarely come from the CFL to the NFL. When they do, it's Doug Flutie, it's Jeff Garcia, it's Warren Moon. It's good. It's not Chris
Trevor. It's pro ballers.
It's pro ballers. And so, you know, you start to think when this is the guy that comes from the CFL and he's touted as Taysom Hill, blah, blah, blah. That's it? Man, the CFL's really diminished in the talent pool since, you know, we last recall in terms of the quarterback position. And so you kind of dismiss it and you think, man, it must be easy up there.
Well, I know. And everybody's been saying, well, this is the Taysom Hill of the CFL. That's what they were expecting.
Yeah.
They didn't get it. Okay, we'll converse with the viewers more a little later on in Viewer Takeover. We have a sports update coming up. But most excitingly for me, the great Ken Danico joins us from NHL Network next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV across all 10 provinces and 31 states. And today, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitter Live, and for Sud's Full Service Car Wash, listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues. It's episode number 393. Coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. As promised, I will get to your comments and questions a little later on, but I'm very excited. As you can tell, a little nervous, because I've never interviewed this guy before, Ken Danico. Let's bring him in from the NHL Network. And while we do, 1,283 games, all with the New Jersey Devils. He's an Edmonton product, but he played with the Yorkton Terriers, Great Falls Americans, Spokane Flyers, Seattle Breakers, Kamloops, and then New Jersey. Good morning, Ken. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I couldn't wait to do it. And I guess I should say good afternoon to you out there. Ken, been watching your stuff on NHL Network, and I know we can go deep into the NHL training camps, but you've been digging the World Juniors, covering it very closely, right? We got the semis tonight. Canada-Russia. USA-Finland. I think the Canada-Russia game is the final. How do you feel about the way it's shaken down to these final four here tonight?
Well, I think we're going to see some terrific hockey. That's a definite from my standpoint. In fact, in the qualifying rounds, it was pleasantly surprising to see most of the games, all four really, were relatively close and competitive. I mean, we've seen some lopsided scores early, but I give Germany, I give the Czech Republic, I give a lot of those teams credit for battling hard, even Slovakia, against superior opponents, as we saw. But there were good games, and the final four is probably the teams, rightfully so, minus the big top five, and obviously Sweden was the team that let a 2-0 lead slip away against their arch rival Finland, who went on to score three unanswered in a late goal to get to the medal round. So I think we're going to see some great games. On paper, is Canada the strongest team, top to bottom? Probably. But that's in these one-game eliminations. It's, you know, strange things happen. And we know that a bounce, a break, a penalty, tough goaltending, whatever it may be, can be the difference. So I think we're going to see two terrific games tonight.
Oh, for sure. And for me, I've said I think this is Canada's first real test tonight. But let me ask you this, because you're following the USA for the NHL Network. Is it an insult to the Americans for me to say the Canada-Russia game is the final?
Oh, probably. If I'm being brutally honest, yeah, Team USA is pretty darn good. They've got good goaltending. He's kind of found his way after a hiccup in the opening game against Russia, and that's Spencer Knight. He's playing solid now, but they're deep up front. They have a lot of talent like a team. They've got role guys that understand what they have to do on the third and fourth lines. As far as the grit and the intensity and all the little things you need to win hockey games and win in puck battles. Trevor Zegras is as good as anybody in this tournament. He's that talented, that skilled, can play the game any way you want it, 200-foot player, and he's been on fire. So they've kind of been led by them, but they got a lot of scoring. Caulfield's getting it going, and Boldy. They've got a lot of good hockey players on Team USA. And their defense, maybe not as heralded as Canada's, but they do have, led by Cam York, their captain, and they've just played good collectively as a group. So they think they've got an opportunity. If they can get by a pesky Finnish team, which we know always gives teams fits in these tournaments, just as Sweden, they're a team, if you don't match their intensity, their relentlessness, you're not going to beat them.
So I told the boys that I have the burning question for me I'm going to get to. Ken, I said I was a fan of yours, fan of the way you played. You know that we're in Regina, right?
I do, and I love that you brought up my Yorkton Terriers. That's where it all began for me.
That's where I'm going with this. They still talk about you in Yorkton, and not only were you there, but Chris Cuthbert was the play-by-play guy on the radio there. So tell me about your time in Yorkton.
Well, I was playing Bantam AA in Edmonton, Alberta. I was owned by the Great Falls Americans at the time of the Western Hockey League. They didn't last too long. If you go way back, everybody knows. But they had asked me, they said, we think you're ready to make the leap and skip midgets and go from Bantams to Tier 2 hockey and the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. The Yorkton Terriers were an affiliate with the Great Falls Americans of the Western Hockey League at the time. And boy, I could tell so many good stories, funny stories. Say, since 7 years old, I told my mother, I've said it many times, the National Hockey League, and she used to pay and say, yeah, yeah. I think she was 10 Ken Danicles on every corner in Edmonton and different cities throughout Canada, which was true. But I continued to tell her, and I thought this was going to fast-track my opportunity. My mother really said over her dead body, she's leaving home at 15 years old. My dad kind of, the coach, Jerry Bullets at the time, he says, what do you want to do, Ken? I said, I want to go play. I want to go to the Saskatchewan Junior League. Didn't really know a whole lot about it. And my dad says, well, I'll take you, drive you to Yorkton, and I'll tell your mother later. So we didn't even tell my mother because I don't know how she would handle it. She says, I'll deal with your mother at the time. My late mother, but anyway, so my father was a quiet man, just said, if this is what you want, go for it. And off to Yorkton we went. We weren't a very good team. I believe I was one of two 15-year-olds in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, and I loved every minute of it. We were a young team. We were at the bottom, but my opportunity, I knew it was a good step. And was it a tough league? Oof, boy. I think I could survive anything, and it was almost like slapshot at times playing the Melville Millionaires, and we swear they had guys, Jerry James, their coach at the time, who we all know was a pretty tough guy as well, and had intimidating. We think at times when we went 20 minutes up the road to meet them that they just got six guys out of prison to play that game. And it was awfully nerve-wracking, intimidating at the time, but I think I was one of 70 players that went through the roster of Yorkton that year. It was crazy. 60, 70 players, guys going home, just not being able to handle it. But I played every game that year, all 60 games, and it was just great. I love the team. It was a big stepping stone for me, and I really enjoyed Yorkton as well. So it was a lot of fun. It was tough, but the way the game was played back then, and I enjoyed it.
That's amazing, by the way. And it's still a 20-year-old league, so I'm just trying to, for people to get their minds around the fact that you went in there at 15. It was more so a 20-year-old league then. There's still no limit on the amount of 20-year-olds you can have, right? So it was a man's league, and still really is, you know. So good for you for surviving. And I think, yeah.
Well, that's the battle, I will say, and sort of interrupt, but half the battle was survival. And, you know, I had that kind of fortitude, and I humbly say heart that I said, if I quit here, and at times you wanted to go, maybe I'm a 15-year-old, but you mentioned Chris Cuthbert, and I think he tweeted this last year, and I almost forgot about it, and he's gone on to have a wonderful job, one of my favorite play-by-play guys to listen to. Well, we sat together on the bus. I was 15 years old, first road trip, and I introduced myself to Chris Cuthbert, and I said, hi, Chris, I'm Ken Danico, and I'm going to play in the National Hockey League. That was the first things I said. I can't believe I was that bold or brash, but he remembers it like it was yesterday and tweeted it last year. And I go, oh, boy, I just wanted to play so bad and get my opportunity to be an air, and it started in Yorkton.
It's unbelievable, and I was part of that tweet. I don't know how it came up. Honestly, I have no idea how it came up, but yeah, I'll go find it. And I would be remiss because my brother will be listening right now. He was the general manager of the Great Falls Americans in the 90s, a reincarnate, not the part, of course, that you were part of, but just great, great Western Canada, Pacific Northwest junior hockey stories. But anyways, back to business. The Devils, we've had Cam Severson on. We've had some various Devils, and they really feel the future's looking bright there in New Jersey with the pieces that they put together. How is their optimism well placed in your mind?
Well, I think I always am cautionistic, but they really have good young prospects and good first, second, third year players. Except, and that's Jack Hughes, and he's bigger, stronger, put on this year, and I expect him to take a big step forward. He's a confident young man, and he got to the league last year, and he wasn't insulated very well as far as the team didn't play very well in October, and that's tough and the pressure of a number one overall. And the veteran at the bottom, you always have one or two guys that don't start the season off well, but you can sustain it. Well, everybody collectively just didn't play well at the start, and I can't imagine how difficult that was for a young 18 to start his perfect. They got better as it went along. They've got so many good young players. Now, are they in a tough division? Yes, we know. And are they going to be predicted to be last in that division, in the Atlantic division? Yes, and right, if you look on paper, feeling in this short season, we're going to have some surprises. I almost hope they can be that team or one of those teams. They want to be competitive right now. They understand they're realistic. General Manager Tom Fitzgerald, retool, rebuild kind of phase. But they feel some people underestimate their tandem in goal. They think they're as good as it gets as Black he's made. If you look at his numbers of what he did with the team in front of him, it's nothing short of remarkable. His first couple of seasons in the league, and, you know, he played a little bit the first year, a lot more last year. And you had a veteran Corey Crawford is used to play high danger chances, I think the most in the league, along with Blackwood when he played with the Blackhawks, because both teams weren't great in their own zone. And then that's a good thing. Means improve a little bit defensively. They play the way they're capable of. They've got pretty good goaltending. We know the importance of goaltending. They've added a few veteran guys to insulate some of these young players that I talk about as far as Boquist, the Hugheses, and certainly Nico Hischier, who's injured right now, but they're hoping can be ready for the start of the season. So they're optimistic, but realistic, I would say.
All right. Well, and of course, with a 56-game season, that has changed things considerably in terms of the approach and how compacted everything is. But, Ken, we're going to let you go. The video is getting a little choppy, unfortunately, but we got a lot of questions have come in from our viewers. So when we bring you back, would you mind answering some questions from folks?
I would absolutely love it. That'd be fantastic.
I'll give you one quick one from Craig in Regina. Ask Ken if he could have either Stevens or Niedermeyer on his team. Who would he pick?
That is unfair. That is a loaded question.
That's why I asked it. Scott, you're not answering it?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm going, Scott, I need him on defense. I mean, just playing and skating ability was second to none. When I grow up, I wanted to be Scott Niedermeyer, and he was about younger than me. Just a wonderful person on and off the ice. I love Scott Stevens, the best open ice hitter in the world. That's just a ferocious leader. So it's a tough one. I mean, really putting me on. I always wanted to skate like Scott Niedermeyer. I think so. Scott Niedermeyer won. Scott Stevens 1A. Is that possible? Even though Scott Stevens played more of a style, and when he got traded into the Devil, I wanted to be the poor man Scott Stevens. So I love.
Well, if you ever get asked again, just say Scott.
All Scott, right, Ken. Yeah.
We're watching you on NHL Network. Keep it up, man. Thanks for catching up with us today.
Enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Ken Danico joining us from New Jersey today. And yeah, you can watch him on NHL Network in beautiful Secaucus, New Jersey. There you go. Who would you rather have, Stevens or Niedermeyer?
I love it.
Scott.
And he said, I grew up wanting to be Scott Niedermeyer, and he's younger than me. That's great.
I know. It's crappy that the video was the sucky
but
there
it,
in the
But
swamp.
It worked enough to get his reaction to the question, and you kind of heard enough about Stevens, the best open ice hitter in the game. And
no doubt.
He wants to be the poor man Scott Stevens then. Oh, it was great.
Kids, you're just not getting the golden age of the game these days.
You're not.
Just not.
You're not.
Sports update coming up, and you know what? We'll start viewer takeover early because it's been that kind of show.
Yeah.
People want to weigh in on what's going down. You're watching on Game Plus Television Network, Facebook Live. Today we're going live on Twitter and YouTube, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. Gonna get to your comments in a moment, but first, a sports update. Breaking news today, the Los Angeles Chargers have fired coach Anthony Lynn less than two seasons after he led the franchise to the AFC divisional round. Lynn is the fifth NFL coach fired this season, joining Houston's Bill O'Brien, Atlanta's Dan Quinn, Detroit's Matt Patricia, and Adam Gase of the Jets. That would make him the sixth. Doug Marone was fired this morning, too.
Yeah.
So who's writing this stuff? It is semifinal day at the World Juniors in Edmonton. Team Canada hopes to return to the gold medal game with a victory over Russia in their semifinal, a rematch of last year's gold medal game. The USA, meanwhile, will play Finland in the other. The Toronto Raptors seek to return to the win column tonight. They'll play against the Boston Celtics as they hope to improve their 1-4 record. Toronto's lone win on the season came against the Knicks on New Year's Eve. The NFL regular season has come to an end. The Washington football team has emerged as NFC East champions and will play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a playoff game next weekend. The Packers, Saints, Seahawks, and Rams will also play in the postseason. In the NFC. In the AFC, it's the Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Titans, Ravens, Browns, and Colts. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. For Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Eatery in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with eight amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. I know it's Monday. It's a big football day. That's what everybody wants to talk about. So I'm totally down with that. Wayne in Victoria says, so Rod, are you on the Tampa Bay train with Tom Brady at quarterback? Well, of course. Where you been, Wayne? All year long. My teams that I follow are out of the playoffs, the Cowboys and the Cardinals. No real shock there, especially for the Cowboys. So I'm a Tom Brady fan. That's wearing this. It was my Christmas gift,
yep,
as you know. Mel McGuigan says, Strebler was average at best in the CFL. Why do we want a failure to come back to the CFL? He was just not good in the CFL. Just because he played in one NFL game? Mel, chill. It's just a question. The poll question is, do you expect to see Chris Strebler back in the CFL? 70-plus percent on Twitter and Facebook saying, yes, we expect to see them back. Nobody's pining for it. Maybe in Winnipeg. Poll question here. Text line here. Bob in Grand Prairie says, Boomer would have been eaten alive in the Canadian game. He wasn't that good, really. It's from Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
I know.
What do you find funny about that?
Were you going to bring up what you brought up in the break?
His stats?
Yeah. Wasn't that good.
Four-time Pro Bowler. So there's that. All-time yardage, 37,920 yards. That's nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not.
I don't believe he's in the Hall of Fame. Can somebody help me on that? James Warnicki says, hey, Rod, Alabama or Ohio? Roll Tide. It ain't going to be close. It was good, though, Friday. New Year's Day was the biggest day in college football. The biggest day.
Yeah.
The only question in the Alabama-Notre Dame game was, would they beat the spread, the Fighting Irish? Which they did,
yeah,
on a late touchdown. The OSU-Clemson game at nighttime was, I mean, I was pulling for Trevor Lawrence. He's my kind of guy. But they just got shredded by OSU and Justin Fields. And we'd been talking earlier this year about Justin Fields. And watch out for him. And by the way, the scouts are still saying it's still Trevor Lawrence. He's still the best guy.
You can't.
Don't go on one game.
Yeah, you cannot, you know, base your franchise-altering draft pick based on one game. Fields is definitely a playmaker and may be better long-term. Who knows? But the safer, the better pick for your franchise, Trevor Lawrence is still the guy.
I'm enjoying this back and forth with the viewers, and forgive me while I retweet our live Twitter broadcast, because we're new on Twitter, and we want to boost our viewers. Janelle says, hey, Rod, I may have missed this, but what team/brand is your hoodie? Well, my bunny hug, Janelle, is TB12, Tom Brady. You will see a T in there, and a 12, and a B.
Yep.
It's all there. TB12, Tom Brady. And she wants to know, did you start Yellowstone? No, I was not. I was frankly not sitting around watching a lot of television streaming on the weekend. I played a lot of outdoor hockey. I did probably too much visiting with my family. Psst, don't tell anybody.
I saw it put you out by 9 o'clock.
Saturday night I was done. That was my first day outdoor hockey. And then my nephew was like, well, if you're going to play with those kids, why don't you come play with me? Okay. How do you say no to that?
You can't.
Actually, that's a great segue, by the way, to this from Manitoba viewer. They watch us on Bell MTS Cable in Manitoba, specifically in Winnipeg, on Game Plus. Anonymous texter says, RP, speaking of minor hockey, you are right about it being a rich man's sport. Incidentally, I didn't say that. Somebody else did, but
okay.
He says, how many of these ex-pros are volunteering their time to give back to grassroots hockey? None. Trying to make money off the backs of hockey parents. Won't offer advice without getting money for it. I see it here. I see it in Winnipeg at the Rink Hockey Academy. I don't know anything about that. Just last hour, Mike Zygmantas was with us. NHL veteran of 147 games from Fan 590 Toronto. Am I making too much of this? I was like, hey, Mike, you ever get out to an outdoor rink? No. Like it was the dumbest question of all time. You know?
I know.
I don't know. When I worked in hockey for 17 years in Major Junior, we relished the opportunity to get outside.
Yeah, and teams would do it once a year.
We'd do it while we practiced, not only at an outdoor rink, but I'll never forget, in my younger days, I used to practice with the Pats regularly. As a goaltender, I would. But then, as I got older, and the shots got harder, when the fourth liners could shoot it so fast you couldn't even see it, so hard, I would just skate with them. And we went to Canmore one time, and oh my God, how beautiful that was, skating on the lake in Canmore, right? But I broke my hand out there. That was kind of around the time that I retired.
Yeah.
Outdoor ice, just so you know, ain't exactly the Olympics. Right?
I know.
There's cracks in it. What do we call waves?
Yeah.
So I turned to pivot, skate went in a rut. Broke my hand in half, literally.
Oh, that's the one, because you never know when it's coming. You're skating along, all of a sudden you hit a crack in the ice, and the next thing you know, you're face down, you know, on the ice on the ground, and your knees get banged up.
Writhing in pain.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
I was skating Wascana Lake, playing in the outdoor tournament, skating along, stick in a rut.
Yeah.
And tore ligaments off my ribs. That happened.
Like, you don't wear gear when you play on the outdoor ice, right? But the one thing you'll see the players grab, elbow pads. They'll grab elbow pads. When you fall down and bang your elbow.
I know. We're late for a break, but I just said, when I went to the doctor, when I ripped the cartilage off my ribs, doctor said, you're done. You're done. I was 40 at the time. And I said, what do you mean done? I'm the same age as Martin Brodeur. He's still playing. The doctor goes, it's not up for debate. You're done. So here I am back at it. And I'm going to carry this over into the next segment, viewer takeover. But viewer Jim Waldron says, if the import rule changed, would that help increase the CFL talent pool? We're heading to a very interesting crossroads in the Canadian Football League, just so you know. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. So hang on. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, Twitter and YouTube Live, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the viewer takeover segment, and people aren't done with his boomer size and stuff and everything. Brady in Saskatoon writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. I don't know why he feels the need to troll, but I'm going to read it anyways. Hey, Rod, yet another year of Cowboys mediocrity. So many teams have made it to the NFC Championship since you guys last did it in 95. Does he think I don't know that? Why do you text somebody and rub it in their face?
Yeah, the rubbing in the face is never a good look.
No.
Ever.
He goes on to say, got to admit that Streveler didn't play good yesterday, but at the end of the day, Streveler isn't a good representation of a starting CFL quarterback or any starting position. You're not getting an argument here.
No. He's
Metal Shingle Guy writes in, a second string CFL quarterback and an Alliance quarterback get a shot to play in the biggest game of their careers. Boomer just peed all over them. And the CFL. That's the attitude of most Americans. State fair ball. Like I say, tough week for the CFL. And they didn't even do anything wrong. They didn't do anything. And here's McAvee poking fun at him. You got Boomer saying this. So anyways, somebody asked about adjusting the ratio in the Canadian Football League. And I'm thinking, adjusting it which way? So you had 7 Canadian starters. Mandated. You're talking about lowering it to 5, maybe. because there's less quality Canadians playing. Define quality. Now you're spending to the floor. Let's remember, those were conversations pre-pandemic. Now you're in a financial bind where you can't pay the money that you'd like. I guess the point is, you're hearing agents are saying, they're telling their players, some of them, Americans, don't go to the CFL. They're not paying anything. Just sit and wait for the XFL and whatever else springs up in America. So with your question about adjusting the import, you're saying to allow for more Americans? I think you need to adjust it the other way. I think it's going to go the other way. Less Americans, more Canadians. Which, incidentally, what we're seeing is the quality of Canadian football is higher than it's ever been. You know, look at the number of Canadians in bowl games. Look at the numbers in NCAA football to begin with. Not to mention the high quality of play in Canada in youth sports. So I think the CFL probably is going to a more predominantly Canadian league. And by the way, what's wrong with that? You might be able to attract more sponsors that way. You just need to sell their stories. By the way, what the hell's the XFL or the Alliance League? How's that any better, really? So from a CFL standpoint, I love the quirky rules. I love the dorkiness of what Canada is, and I'm Canadian, so I can say it. We're very unique. Then we need to lean into it, I guess, and not worry about what Americans are saying. You're nodding your head that you agree?
Why do you go to the state fair? Why do you go?
Because it's fun.
Because it's fun. Because you go for the big ride. You go for the corn dogs. You go for the one-eyed, one-legged guy juggling the thing. Or, you know what I mean? The carnies doing their thing. You go to
the
play
freaks.
The games. The things that aren't available to us regularly on a daily basis, right? And they advertise that. The show's coming to town. So if you're not going to adopt the NFL rules and the American football rules and go four downs and try and be NFL light, then lean into what you are.
Your uniqueness.
Your uniqueness is your niche, which is your marketing power, right? So, yeah, we are different. Completely different. And that's why people watch, and that's why it's so exciting. So, yeah, lean into it. Market that more, right? State Fair football. Like, I would lean into that as a marketing slogan for the year. You know, come watch State Fair football, the greatest show in town. Market it like you're marketing the carnival coming to town every week.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Yes.
Bearded ladies.
Let's go. We got lumberjacks. We got watermelons on our head.
We got whack-a-mole.
We got lions and tiger cats. Like, let's go.
Lauren Goldenberg in Pittsburgh says, 10 starters like it used to be. Canadians are better than the last 30 years. Yes, Rod. He writes in all caps. What did I just say before? The CFL's going to, they're hitting a fork in the road, and they need to decide which way they're going to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not the one that's making that decision. The CFL is. For instance, Robin Wildey just said, should the CFL move to NFL rules? Well, that's the one off ramp you could take.
Hey.
And you become NFL Canada that way, and you do get the respect of everybody in America if you are now that true feeder system for the National Football League. You got American-sized fields, American rules, the NFL setting their prospects. There's that. And you know what? You'll never worry about money again, ever. And you'll work with the NFL in every regard. Or you take this.
The off ramp.
Quirky, wild off ramp to Funtown. It's going to take some putting your balls on the table if you're going to take that turn.
They both work. That's the thing. They both work. Make a choice.
Oh, man. Everybody wants. Now they're all coming to life. Jeff Stamps, wait a minute. Were you not pushing for NFL Canada dupes?
It works.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. How much time, Clark? Okay, we're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central and noon Eastern on Game Plus. Let's go beat up DuPont.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.